T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ryan Wilson is a really smart guy. Went to Carnegie Mellon. Now he's covering the draft for CBSSports.com. We love to have him on the show. And the Steelers, no first-round pick for the first time since the 1960s. Ryan Wilson, that is, just did a giant blowout draft for CBS Sports, was just on CBS Sports HQ talking about it today. And Ryan, you know, you never know how the draft is going to unfold. We've heard that this draft is flush with wide receivers. Do you have the Steelers taking one early in the draft?
Yeah, that's right, Andrew. Round two at the 49th pick we talked about. Their first rounder is basically Minkah Fitzpatrick, which feels like a home run, even if they won't actually announce someone on draft night. But Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State, that's who I have them going with at 49th. And previous sort of multi-round mock drafts, I've had them targeting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the running back out of LSU in round two. I absolutely love him, but he is gone. So they circle back for a deep threat playmaking wide receiver. Take some of the pressure off Juju. Take some of the pressure off Deontay Johnson and James Washington. He can also add as a return, as a returner, and you know that's always something that feels like the Steelers are looking for. I like him a lot. He ran a 4.5 at the combine, but I some rumblings that he was probably injured then. I know he was injured at the Senior Bowl. He plays much faster than that. And Juju didn't blow the doors off of his 40 time either. And in fact, Deontay Johnson didn't either, if I recall correctly. So I'm not worried about that. But I think he's a big downfield target and a big yards after the catch guy that feels almost like a natural fit in Pittsburgh.
Ryan, is this somebody in Ayuk that if it was a less stacked draft at wide receiver would be a first round player?
Absolutely. And there's a chance that he goes in the first round, depending on how the top 25 picks or so shake out. I mean, if you told me he was going to go to the Packers at 30, I would be, that's a great pick for Green Bay. I could certainly see that. Or even 31 to the 49ers if they're looking for a wide receiver there. Now that Emmanuel Sanders has signed with the Saints, I think there's a lot to like about him. And I think in sort of some ways the Steelers are in pretty good shape because they know what they need. They need help at wide receiver, running back, and certainly offensive line is a priority. I do wonder if some Steelers fans might be not super jazzed about the idea of, say, taking an offensive tackle or an offensive guard in that second round pick when there's some sort of skill position playmakers still on the board. So my hope is, anyway, that they go wide receiver or running back and then worry about that other stuff later.
The running back point, Ryan, a lot of the local Steelers media, so the people that are here that are mock drafting, are linking constantly now the Steelers to Jonathan Taylor, the Wisconsin running back. When they've gone for running backs early under Colbert, they've been Big Ten backs, Mendenhall, Bell. Now Taylor seems to be, for the Steelers media, the guy. What kind of grade do you have on Taylor as a running back?
I love him. If you told me he was a first-round pick, I would be okay. I'm down with that as well. The reason I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little better than Jonathan Taylor is that he's much more polished as a receiver. But look, Le'Veon Bell wasn't Le'Veon Bell when he came out of Michigan State. He had to drop 20 pounds or whatever it was, and he became a completely different player. Jonathan Taylor, I mean, in terms of measurables, you look at the numbers, combine numbers, they look a lot like Saquon Barkley. He ain't Saquon Barkley, but he is one of the two or three or four best running backs in this class. And if the Steelers took him at 49, I would have no issue with it. I mean, we've talked about James Conner's inability to stay healthy sometimes. We know Benny Snell helped last year, but I don't think he's an every-down back. Jonathan Taylor can carry the load. My only concern with Jonathan Taylor, he'll get better as a pass receiver. I'm not worried about that. But he has a lot of mileage on the tires from his time in Wisconsin, and I don't know.
How about fumbles, Ryan? Was that an issue for him too?
I don't recall them being an issue. I'd have to check my notes, but in terms of watching Wisconsin play last year, there was never a time where I was thinking he doesn't hold onto the ball very well. I don't think that's a concern, just off the top of my head. But if they took him there, I'd be okay with it. My biggest issue is just the mileage there.
Ryan, I'm going to take credit, I guess, for inspiring your next pick off the board for the Steelers in the third round, Akeem Davis-Gaither from App State. I think last time we had you on, I asked you if there were any of those hybrid tweener-style players that might be a good fit, and I want to say that was the name you gave me.
Oh, is it really? Okay, good. That makes me feel better because I was curious how Steelers fans might react to that and Steelers media as well. I love him because he's a tweener, and they don't necessarily need a linebacker. Vince Williams is still there, but he only weighs about 219, 220, so he can't play solely in that role, but he can play in a role where you just put him anywhere, sort of like Kyle Duggar's another kid out of Lenoir Ryan who's probably going to get drafted pretty highly. Everyone knows about Isaiah Simmons and that type of hybrid role where you just put him anywhere and let him make plays, because when you watch Appalachian State play, he was flying all over the screen, and you were usually thinking, all right, who is that guy? And he plays much bigger than his listed weight, and I think one more playmaker on that defense, you know, why not? You can never have enough playmakers on defense, and it was fun to watch the Steelers defense get back to what we saw last year after so many years of just being basically a sieve, allowing teams to run up and down the field.
CBSSports.com draft insider Ryan Wilson, Carnegie Mellon, local guy, our guest here on 93.7 The Fan, broke down the entire NFL draft at a 7-round mock draft. The Steelers' 5 picks. It's up at CBSSports.com, or you can get it from Ryan's Twitter, Ryan Wilson, CBS. Are you one of these draft nicks, Ryan, that believes that Jacob Eason is a good fit for the Steelers and somebody that you would have a first or second round grade on as a quarterback?
I think he's a second rounder, but it's funny you asked me that because we were just doing that mock draft show on CBS Sports HQ that you mentioned, and Brady Quinn said to me, do you think the Steelers might be interested in Jacob Eason, the 49th pick? And I said, in theory, they maybe look into him, but the reality is they're not taking him. They seem to be okay with Mason Rudolph and Paxton Lynch. I suspect Duck Hodges may be the odd man out, but I'm sort of with you. Why not just kick the tires on Jameis Winston?
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you so much for that. Go ahead, Chris. Give him a round of applause.
I'm not crazy, and Chris, I'm not crazy about the 30 interceptions. That's obviously an issue. But the man was blind, so I think we should give some credit to the fact that the man threw 30 touchdowns with his eyes closed for the entire season. I think that's the story you should be telling. In all honesty, though, you know, there's some conversations about the salary cap and all that. I would have much rather them go after Marcus Mariota, who signed for peanuts with the Raiders. I would have liked him in this role as a backup. But either way, I don't think you draft a quarterback 49 just because of the other needs we've talked about. And Jacob Eason's a project. He's not going to come in right away. Roethlisberger, what does he have left? We don't even know how the arm is. So assuming he's healthy and he plays out his deal, you can circle back on the quarterback situation later. But I wouldn't take Eason at 49.
Ryan, one of the, you know, normally I'd be only concerned with who you have the Steelers selecting, but we've got permanent Patriots paranoia here. I'm going to patent that phrase, actually, when we get off the phone. And I had always been hearing these rumblings that Bill Belichick was starting to become enamored with, if he had to replace Tom Brady, with finding a more of a dual threat guy, a guy who could use his legs more than Brady. That's why your first round pick that you have mocked to New England has me very scared right now.
And you know what? That is a very scary proposition to have Jordan Love going 23. I don't know if Jordan Love will be there. This 7-round mock draft I didn't do any trades just because I didn't want to get on with my life at some point. But if he's there at 15, I think there's going to be a lot of fun things happening a few picks down because the Patriots are at 23, the Saints are at 24. Sean Payton was dearly in love with Patrick Mahomes, and Jordan Love has some similarities to Patrick Mahomes' game. He's not Patrick Mahomes, don't misunderstand me, but he does a lot of things that remind you of sort of Mahomes' gunslinger mentality with a good arm and all that. And I think those teams are going to be vying for the possibility to move up and get him. If it doesn't happen, I do wonder if one of these two teams will, in the third round, I don't think either of these teams have second-round picks, in the third round, maybe they try to trade up back into the second round, looking to someone like Jalen Hurts, another dual threat quarterback. The Saints have Taysom Hill and they keep talking him up. I'm not sold on Taysom Hill's long-term answer. He's 30 years old, and Jalen Hurts already throws the football better, and he's younger. Even if he's not quite the athlete, we know he can run the ball. So those are two names I'm looking for that could end up in New England and or New Orleans and make life difficult for the rest of those conferences.
Ryan Wilson joining us, Draft Insider, CBSSports.com. Ryan, the Steelers with Munchak had a lot of success with either late-round or undrafted offensive linemen, developing them, turning them into starters, not overnight, but with time. And that probably would make sense for this team, given the guys that are on the roster now that you have plugged in as starters, but many of them are in their 30s. So do you have the Steelers addressing offensive line in this draft?
Yeah, but not until the seventh round. I haven't taken Jake Hansen, the interior lineman out of Oregon, a workhorse, and part of that offensive line that was one of the best offensive lines in college football last year, protecting Justin Herbert. He's not going to come in right away and start, but he can add depth. We know that Ramon Foster retired and B.J. Finney left. I think he went to Seattle. So yep. There are needs there to fill. I don't know if you do them in the second or third round, if you can help it, unless someone falls there. A name to look out for, by the way, in round two is Robert Hunt, who plays offensive tackle. But the feeling seems to be he's going to kick inside, and he could be an animal. I don't know if you want to risk he'll be probably a second-round pick if you want to take him in round two if he's there because of the other things we talked about. But you can certainly look on day three to try to find some guys, and you can find depth. And I do want to see how the sort of year two without Munchak continues. I thought last year was okay, but Munchak seemed to be a difference maker in the time he was there and turning that offensive line around.
Ryan, one more defensive question. Was there no edge rusher for the Steelers in one of those first two picks more owing to who got taken off the board in your mock draft or the overall thinness of that position?
So there were guys like Daryl Taylor out of Tennessee in round two who could be a possibility. I like his game a lot. Alton Robinson from Syracuse had a much better 2018 than 2019. He's a little bit Jason Worlds in this game, I guess. He's heavy hands. He can set the edge, and he'll get better as a pass rusher. Those were options. This draft, this edge class isn't that deep, and that's sort of – you don't want to reach for a guy if there's a Brandon Ayuk or a Jonathan Taylor, for example, there, and you know what you have in that, and you're going to have to try to figure out how to get the most out of these edge rushers. But that's something they're going to have to address. I think I had him doing it in round four with Alex Highsmith, who is he's a raw prospect out of Charlotte. Played well throughout the season. He had a good game against Clemson to start early in the year in September. But he's a project. He's a guy that's going to have to grow into the role. So you need Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt to stay healthy, obviously. Otherwise, there could be some issues on the edge.
Very thorough, very detailed, great draft analysis. Ryan Wilson. Follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson CBS. Read him at CBSSports.com and watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Ryan, stay safe. Stay safe. Thanks for coming on with us, pal.
Stay safe, guys. Thank you very much.
You bet. Chris?
Big fan of that guy.
Me too.
Big fan of the insights. Big fan of the thoroughness. And if the Steelers get somebody that is a plug-and-play as close as you... I actually like the first two picks a lot, simply because I don't think Juju's here after this year, so you'd want to replace and replenish your depth there. And honestly... And this is something I would go into if we had more time with Ryan, like maybe, and this is more maybe a philosophical question about football that's better suited for somebody else. You have a guy like Davis Gaither getting picked, this undersized inside linebacker type of, you know, player. I just wonder if that's where the position is generally going to be headed. Like the unicorns at the position are the Keekleys who can play in the middle of
that
the field.
That seems like a Sean Spence type, a guy that was a little undersized but made all kinds of plays at Miami.
Well, yeah.
And the Steelers
Sean
got him
Spence
here and they loved him, and then he had a terrible injury, right?
Yeah, if Sean Spence's knee doesn't completely explode, I think that's a possible very good career. I just wonder if that's the direction you want to start going, is faster and lighter in the middle of defenses in general.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.